Yeah, okay, we'll start with a prayer here. And Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. So we're in chapter 66 here. Now then, so here, chapter 66 in the My Catholic Faith, the authority of the Church. First of all, the word authority comes is based on author. Author. Authority is given to the one who is the author, and the author is the creator. The creator of something. All authority is traced back to the creator or the maker. So authority is something that is connected to making. And that's the reason why in the catechism we tell the little children that all authority comes from God. Every single authority, every single type of authority. Or the authority of a father, or the authority of an employer. Any type of authority comes from God because all authority goes back to the origin of something. Whoever originated or created a thing is the one who has control over it. And so that's based on the principle we mentioned that the maker of something is the master of it. The maker of something is obviously the master of it. So if the lady makes her little pie for the potluck and she doesn't like it, she can throw it out. But if you come in and you decide you don't like somebody else's pie, you can't destroy it. Very simple. All authority of every type, whether it be the authority of a carpenter over his wood, okay, we're not only talking about spiritual authority, but every kind, comes from the creator of something. And since all things, including wood and the family, are ultimately created by God, every kind of authority is based on God. Now then there's a second principle. The authority that is closer to God is greater than authority that is further away from God. So the authority of a king over a country, which is more spiritual, more touching the decisions of men, is greater than the authority of a carpenter over his chair. Because he's only related to the rearrangement of wood. Whereas he is dealing with the authority of decisions made by men in their souls. The authority of a priest is greater than the authority of a police officer. Because a police officer makes sure that you go according to the speed limit. Makes sure you go according to external laws. Whereas the priest makes sure that you act according to God's laws in a higher way. So the hierarchy of authority depends upon which person, the authority is higher that is closer to God. So that it gets closer and closer to the source. So the greatest authority of any human being is the authority of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Because his humanity is the closest to God. His humanity is not divine. But his humanity is hypostatically united to the divine. His humanity being hypostatically united to God in such a way that we say he is God. That is the blood of God. That is the body of God. That is the heart of God and so on. Means that everything that Jesus Christ does in his humanity is done with authority. And this is noted in the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That he acted as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. He has to act with authority because he's God. Authority, firstly, is related to place. So, in other words, who is closest to God? Then, secondly, it is related to action. So, Jesus Christ has authority at all times. And anyone who is in authority has authority at all times. They don't necessarily exercise their authority at all times, but they have authority at all times. It is actually an office. To have authority is an office. So we don't have to always be acting to use our authority. We have it, whether we use it or not. Pope John Paul II is the greatest authority in the church today, in the world today, but he does not exercise his authority the way in as many cases as he should. The popes, the bishops don't exercise their authority very often. The king and the mayor and the president and so on don't exercise their authority. But the authority, since it's related to who is closest to God in their power, it's something that they have regardless of whether or not they use it. So the father is the head of the family, even if he is a complete and total wimp and his wife is the one that wears the pants. It doesn't change the fact he's still the boss. Maybe nobody knows it, and maybe it's not wise to listen to what he says and rather to listen to what she says, but the fact is, it doesn't change the reality. When she acts as the head of the family, she is not the head. When he acts like a wuss, he still is the head. So it doesn't. It's a matter of position and place and office, not a matter of personal power. One of the problems of the modern concept of authority, the man has authority who's able to wield his weight around. That's the modern concept of authority. It has to do with physical power. So the guy with a bigger gun has the more authority. Whereas in the Catholic concept of authority, it is related rather to an office, and then the hierarchy of authority is based on how close we are to God. Not spiritually, but in our function, in our office. With regard to the authority of the church, we can say that one of the consequences is that whatever authority the church has, it is going to necessarily be the highest kind of authority that can exist on earth. Because the church is about the salvation of souls. And the church is about fulfilling the will of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the will of Jesus Christ in His divine humanity, you know, the hypostatic union. And since we are the exercising of the will of Jesus Christ, who is the greatest authority that can possibly be, besides God Himself, His humanity, so likewise the extension of that authority must be the greatest authority. And that's the Catholic Church, which is the extension, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And so, what do we mean by the authority of the Church? The authority of the Church is meant that the Pope and bishops are the lawful successors of the apostles and have power from Christ Himself to teach, to sanctify, and to govern. The three powers of the Pope, of the Church. Church has the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule. This power, because of original sin, cannot be exercised without also the power to condemn error, to not forgive sins, and to excommunicate. So you see that if you don't have the power to rule, unless you also have the power to punish those who don't follow your rule. You don't have the power to sanctify unless you also have the power to refuse absolution. And you don't have the power to teach unless you also have the power to condemn error. So the church, in the exercise of its power, has the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule, given to it by Jesus Christ. This power means that it is firstly a positive power to teach the truth, to sanctify souls that come to sinners, and then to rule souls, to guide them on the path to heaven, to show them the way to the path to heaven. But because there are enemies of the cross of Christ and enemies of the work of the church, in order to exercise its power in the world, must also use the negative part of that power, which is to condemn error, refuse the absolution, and to excommunicate those that are enemies of the church. So there's the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule. And this power is the church has. The foundation of our authority, we say all authority is because it's connected to the author. So the foundation of the authority of the church is that it's founded by Jesus Christ and that the apostles, the bishops, and the priests are the successors of the apostles and the disciples. If we prove that we are the true successors of the apostles and the true successors of the disciples of Christ, then we have the power of the apostles and the disciples. And that power is to, first of all, to teach. This power is given to Christ, to the church by Jesus Christ. So at the end of the Gospel, St. Matthew chapter 28, our Lord Jesus Christ gave a command to the church. Going therefore, teach ye all nations. Notice he says, teach all nations, not just every individual person. But teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you're going to teach whatsoever I have taught you. That's what the church is going to teach. So there's two parts of the authority of the church. The church has the authority to teach, but it does not have the authority to teach arbitrarily. It has authority to teach what Christ has taught. One thing that's interesting to note, just in the reaction of the faithful, we talk about the power of the priest, that he is a representative of Jesus Christ, and that having the supernatural power to teach the truth, it packs a bigger punch. When I tell you that Jesus is God, it means more than when you say exactly the same thing. It means more because I am a priest. Priesthood adds to the teaching. It adds a conviction and a power to it because God has made me a priest. But that power that I have as a priest is only to teach what Jesus Christ taught. I don't have the power to teach something else. And we see that in the behavior of priests. Some priests nowadays get up and talk about how important it is to be one with the spheres, to be nice to the homosexuals, to accept bad marriages, to belong to Eastern religions, and so on. They teach all kinds of errors. And when a priest teaches error, he preaches without authority. Because his authority is confined to teaching what Christ taught. St. Thomas says that authority operates within channels. It's not arbitrary. If I am the carpenter, I decide how the chair is made. But I don't decide how the lasagna is made. You don't have power in that realm. In fact, in some cultures, they say there are certain things in which a husband is the head of the house, but there are certain things which he has no authority over. Because there's no point in trying to get authority over it anyway. And that's basically the domestic duties of the wife. In certain cultures, is that if he doesn't like where the furniture is, that's too bad. He has to live with it. And so that because that he has authority over the house, but he decides what you do outside the house, but he has to live with the furniture where she put it. So there are certain things in which even though he is the head, he doesn't have authority over everything that the wife does. He has authority over certain things connected to the good of the family. But he doesn't have authority over everything. Because we have authority, it is not arbitrary. So St. Thomas points out, all authority is limited. I have the authority. I have a greater authority than a police officer. But my authority is not to enforce speed limits. And it would be stupid anyway. I would never do that. But nonetheless, that my authority is not to enforce speed limits. It is to enforce other things. To enforce spiritual things. Or things connected to the church. Even material things connected to the church. But I don't have arbitrary authority because I'm a higher authority. So likewise, a pope and a bishop and a priest have authority given to them by God, but it is not an arbitrary authority. It's an authority that is limited to what the Matthew 28, teach what nations whatsoever I have taught you. We also can see in the behavior, whenever someone is telling a lie, they fidget, they don't act the same. There's always some kind of a giveaway. There's a lack of conviction in the way that they're speaking. There's something that gives away the fact that they're not telling the truth. There's a different manner that they carry themselves. And we see that in priests and bishops. When priests and bishops teach error, they teach it without conviction. They teach it without authority. They can't teach it in the same way that a pope stands up and teaches the truth, or a bishop stands up and teaches the truth. Because his authority is given to teach the truth. So whenever I say the truth, God puts power behind my words. When I say something that is false, God holds back his power, and therefore they're just my words, and you can tell the difference. The sensus catholicus picks it up. What we call the Catholic sense. You know you're supposed to listen to the priest. When the priest stands up and says, as he did many times in the 70s, you don't need your rosaries anymore, and he rips the rosary apart. He says, you know, we're going to destroy this stained glass window of Our Lady. We don't want too much devotion to Our Lady. It's not a good thing. It's like worshiping Our Lady. We need to try to help bring the Protestants over, and they don't like Our Lady, so we're going to diminish the authority of Our Lady. We're going to diminish the love of Our Lady. You know immediately there's something wrong. He is not teaching what Christ has taught. And therefore you sense it. The sensus catholicus, Catholic sense, picks up that there's something, I hear something in the teaching of a priest, in the teaching of a bishop, that comes from Christ. But when a priest and bishop stands up and teaches something different than what comes from Christ, then there, you can sense that. But the church has the power to teach, to sanctify, and to govern the faithful. It has to have this power. It has to have this power because God gave to the church a work, which is to save souls and to keep the faith whole until the end of the world. He could not give a work or a duty to anyone without giving the tools to accomplish that duty. There's no way. When you look back at the book of Genesis, God told Adam, you've got three duties. Name the animals, take care of the garden, rule the earth. And St. Augustine points out that Adam did not need any help. And St. Thomas adds, especially not from a woman, to name the animals, to take care of the garden, or to rule the earth. And that if he did need help, that God would have deceived Adam, and God would have made a mistake. He said, take care of the animals, name the animals. He ran out of ideas. Take care of the garden. He can't do it. Needs help. Rule the earth. He can't do it. If he gave him duties and didn't give him the means to fulfill those duties, then God would have deceived Adam, and God cannot deceive. God gave to the church the duty to teach his faith. He gave the duty to save souls and to keep that faith whole and entire until his second coming, until he comes back to judge the living and the dead. He wouldn't do that without giving the church authority. This authority is necessary to and intrinsic to the nature of the church. Church without authority is not church. A church that does not claim authority cannot be the true church. It's one of the problems of the various Protestant denominations. The church does not claim authority. If you don't like your minister, you can kick him out. You can vote him out because you didn't like him. He doesn't really have authority. His authority is given to him by the people, and he has to placate the people. Whereas the church's authority is not to please the people, but to please God. And the church's authority comes from above, not from beneath. And the church claims that authority from above. Like I mentioned to you, I think last week, but Father LeBlanc used to say all the time down in Phoenix, one of our old priests down there, he says it from the pulpit, as he's leaning on, he can't walk too well, but he says it all the time from the pulpit, and he goes, I'm not here to please you, and I don't care if you're happy, you got it, I'm here to please him, because when I die, you're not going to be the one judging me, he is, so I don't care what you think. That's just about every other week he says that. So that's just standard line. But it's also true. Our authority comes from above, not from beneath. And the Catholic Church, if it is going to be the true church, has to claim this authority. Pope Leo XIII says, why do we believe that Jesus is God? Why do we believe it? Because God told us that, the revealing of God, faith. We believe Jesus is God, and we believe Abraham had two sons, the example that he gives, because Christ says so, because God says so. Well, as Catholics, it's the same thing. Why do I believe that there are seven sacraments? Why do I believe that there's 72 books in the Bible, and that the Bible is infallibly revealed by God? Why do I believe that? Because the church says so. That's why. I don't have to give to you the profound reasons. I just simply say to you, this is the teaching of the church. The teaching of the church is that there are seven sacraments. The teaching of the church is that the Bible is infallible. And therefore it's true. by the authority of God revealing through the teaching of the church. It's true because the church teaches it. Because the church is the representative of God. So when we say that the authority comes from God, whenever the church uses its authority, we accept it because the church says so. Not because it makes sense. Pope Leo XIII points out that Catholics do not believe the 12 articles of the Creed because they make sense. Because they can be rationally shown to not be absurd. This is not the reason why we believe in the 12 articles of the Creed. We believe in them for one reason alone. The authority of God manifested through the authority of His mystical body. That's why we believe. The church teaches, that's it. And so we believe what the church teaches. And the church teaches not only dogmas, from this teaching comes sanctification and ruling. The church teaches not only dogmas, but it teaches the way to get to God. That's sanctification, holiness. So the church teaches us how to live. And also St. Thomas says, the church alone, the church is the only authority that controls the mind and the soul. No other authority can make decrees about mind and soul. And that includes husbands. If your wife is a heretic, that's tough. You do not have authority over her mind and soul. Only the church does. The king has no authority over the mind and soul. It's one of the real problems of the modern age, these hate crimes. That's an authority over the soul. It is unjust for a government to make a law against hate. That's my job. As a priest, we make laws against hate and we say what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have charity, you've got to go to confession. But the government and no external authority has power over the soul. Any decision of the soul, only external decisions. So the government has right to say you can't manifest hate by attacking someone. You can't physically attack someone. You can't write against someone, defame their name. Anything physical or external, the state has the right to make laws about it. But the state has no right to make laws about hate in and of itself. Only the church has the right to make those kinds of laws. Because God gave to the church authority over the soul. No one else has authority over the soul. So with regard to the authority, since the church no longer has authority or no longer is accepted as having authority over the soul, the state and also some individuals are taking to themselves authority that belongs only to the church. So there's many mistakes that come from overreaching the bounds of our own authority. And so remember that you can never do evil that good may come of it. You can't step out of the bounds of your authority in order to make everything better. You can't do something wrong so that good may come of it. So with regard to this, the authority of the church, it reaches into the mind. So an example of St. Thomas Aquinas, the church has authority over what you think. The state only has authority over what you do. So if the king says to you, do you believe what I say? And you say yes, he has to accept it. Whereas the church says, if you tell me you're sorry for your sins, and I even believe you're sorry for your sins as a priest, but you're not forgiven. Period. That the authority reaches into the soul itself and not in only into the verbal expression of what we believe is inside your soul. It goes intrinsically into the soul. Only the church's authority goes that deep. No other authority can. And then, in any case, I think I'll close it at that. And then with regard to the authority of the church there, move on to the infallibility the next time there. So we'll go ahead and close with an orationis, with a prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady of Hope of Christians, St. Ignatius.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, thank you.